Tina Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Amy, Andy, and Elizabeth. Celebrity Cruise Line is part of the Royal Caribbean family of companies, and the ads boast of fine food and luxury. But how does it really stack up? Who is the best match for their ships? And what destinations are ideal for Celebrity? Amy and Elizabeth recently sailed on a four-night Bahamas cruise on the Celebrity Constellation. We thought this would be a great opportunity to hear about their experience and thoughts of this line of ships. So, what are the demographics of the passengers that sail on Celebrity?
I guess I'll take that one. And Elizabeth, feel free to add in after you just were on it. I feel like Celebrity has I don't want to say an older crowd, a more mature crowd. I wouldn't say the elderly. I wouldn't say families either, though. Like Royal Caribbean is known for families, and Celebrity is kind of known for maybe families and a younger crowd. I would say Celebrity is more middle-aged, kind of more refined. Am I describing myself?
A little.
But, you know, I have to say, my kids have been on two Celebrity cruises and love the kids program. They have not been on any other cruises to compare it to, but they really had a really good time on that one. You're not going to find a ton of kids. You are going to find, yeah, I would say like couples, a lot of couples and
groups.
Middle-aged. Yeah, groups.
There were a lot of groups there too. Many of the groups consisted of groups of couples, but there were definitely groups on board. Yeah, and I would actually say a more intellectual crowd. A lot of the activities and things are geared for...
Well, what sort of activities, for example?
Like wine tastings and... there were a lot of port discussions, not just about shopping, which, you know, all the cruise lines do sort of shopping previews, but there were also historical port talks. I didn't attend any of them, so I guess I was not
You said port discussions. I was thinking sort of, you said a mature crowd. I was thinking like sort of port wine.
Yes, oh, and I just talked about the wine
tasting. Okay, I'm sorry, that's my mistake.
But there was like a wine tasting that some people in our group did. They did a wine tasting one night, and they've got a wine bar and a martini bar, a library, an iLounge for internet. What is the, I can't think of it, acupuncture. Did you see that one, Elizabeth?
Yeah, in the spa. They actually have an acupuncturist on board, which is kind of unusual, very unusual, actually. And lots of, I mean, Celebrity really seems to be designed for conversation. Like their chair configurations and everything, I notice a lot more sort of groupings of lounge chairs and things like that where people just sit around and talk. And maybe I just have never noticed it on other ships. Maybe I just saw more people using it. But it definitely seemed like there were a lot more sort of group areas where people were designed to gather as a group rather than in like row. There are also rows of individual lounge chairs, just like on any other ship. But there were these little, you know, couch and table configurations on the deck and things like that. So
you're not going to find water slides. You're not going to find ropes courses. It's still fun though at the pool. They have activities out there, but it's not loud, crazy music. It's not a huge interactive. Yeah, I don't know. One day there was a little bit of interaction where they were trying to get the crowd into everything out on the pool deck, but it's not a crazy loud music pool area either.
No hairy chest contests and belly flop contests.
No, but didn't the ship's captain and the crew all jump in the pool at one point? Did you?
I wasn't there for it. My understanding, though, is they jump in full uniform, too. It's sort of like this weird sort of, we're going to pretend to have a good time, but we're still, you know, like, but I didn't see it. But yeah, that was
I have
story.
A question about the artwork on the ship. And the reason I'm asking is because I was just on another cruise and I did the art auction, which was
kind
of crazy. Yeah. Well, but I know at one of our conferences, I picked up a really nice book at the Celebrity table about their artwork. So is that prominent? Is there like is the art gallery a big deal there?
It wasn't to me. I've never joined in on those auctions, but I've heard that people sail Celebrity just for the art on those cruises, just to do the auctions.
And I didn't attend the auction on this one either, and I usually do. I really enjoy those. But I did walk around the ship looking at the art. There is a lot of interesting art, and all ships have it. I think that one of the things that struck me about Celebrity, and I do not even claim to be an aficionado of art. I like what I like and I don't like what I don't like. But there was a wide variety. There was abstract art. There was like almost pop art, cartoony sculptures with like a little bird eating a little worm, almost like something you might expect to find on a Disney ship, like these little sculptures and paintings. Just the subject matter was wide and varied, and there was art pretty much everywhere. Celebrities obviously very proud of their art in general. So, and that was that, those were pieces that were not for sale in the adult only solarium. There's this huge, I actually read a review later that it called her Rubenesque. I would venture to say she was more than Rubenesque sculpture. This woman sort of lying down seductively at like, I don't know, like a lounge singer would lay on a piano or whatever. It's interesting because you don't normally see Rubenesque plus statues. So it was great. I mean, I loved it, you know, being all body positive like I am. I really enjoyed it. I thought the art, there was something for everyone, I think.
What on earth is the difference between the concierge, the aqua, and the suite class?
Do you want to take that one, Amy?
I'll take that. concierge, aqua, and suite. Okay. So you can have your regular balcony cabins. On the older ships, I want to say they're like 177 square feet. On the newer ones, they're closer to 190, I believe. I could be wrong a little bit on there. So you have your regular balcony cabins. If you move up to concierge class, you're going to get a little bit bigger cabin. And you might get, if you're in the C1, concierge 1 class, which we were in, you get a huge balcony, which is probably bigger than your room. You also get these little appetizers coming into your room about, well, you get to pick the time. You can mark it every morning what time you want to have your appetizers come to your room. That was kind of nice because everybody would join in our room in the afternoon, eat our appetizers.
And then leave.
And then we'd go to next door and get their appetizers. And the concierge service, so the ratio of the room attendant to rooms is a lot smaller. So I think that our room attendant might have had 5 cabins versus like your regular balcony classes are going to have a lot more people that he's got to work on. Okay, so you step up to aqua class. Aqua class, you get all those benefits of concierge class. And then you also get access to Blue, which is a restaurant. It says it's a healthier, I've never done this. What I read about it though is that it's a healthier version and smaller dining room, a more intimate. You also get, I believe, and I don't know if this is a promo or you always get it, in Aqua Class, you also get free pass to the Persian Garden, which does not mean that you get your spa free, treatments free, but you can go into the Persian Garden where they've got those kind of a tile lounge chair that heats up. Great scenery, just very relaxing. Smells spa-y. and then your suites, you get a lot more. You get all those benefits, and plus you get, I think you get a butler, like a butler type guy that's just for you. You get, I think, free dining, specialty dining, maybe not every night, but a few nights. I should have brushed up on this. Each step up, you get a lot more benefits.
You get, access to Club Michael at that point too, right?
That is new. Yes, yeah. Club Michael, just this year that started. I loved Club Michael when it was open to everybody. But yeah, suites get that Club Michael, and they have a lot more of the microbrewery type beer, just kind of loungy music, like a guitar vocalist guy. It's really cool in there. Yeah, that's cool. That's worth it.
Well, one of the things when I take a cruise, you know, I didn't get to be the man I am today by eating small portions. How does the food compare? I mean, what sort of options are there?
You go, Elizabeth. I've been on so many celebrity, I don't have a lot to compare to.
We did specialty dining one night, and then the rest of the nights we stay in the dining room, which I really like to do. This was actually my very first time sailing celebrity, so I really like to try as much in the main dining room as possible. And the final night on this sailing was a Top Chef menu, where they have the winners of Top Chef from several episodes. They pull one of their meals that they prepared on the show. And I don't watch the show religiously. I've seen it. Those were really, really extraordinary. And I know that Celebrity even has a special cruise that's all Top Chef food. So those are really good. The rest of the food that we had was good. I can't say that I was blown away by anything, but I also can't say that I, you know, I didn't send anything back.
You like the escargot.
The escargot was really good. Yes.
Licking.
Yes. The escargot. Amy, you were not supposed to repeat that. Oh. That was just between us.
Just say really quick on the dining note, we did have one person with us who was gluten-free, mm-hmm. and I have to say how accommodating they were. The maitre d' would come out every night with the next night menu, and I think this is pretty common, really, but just to say, he would come out with a menu the night before with a vegetarian side, a gluten-free side, and he'd say, we can really make anything gluten-free. So our friend would pre-order the night before and would have her meal ready. They were very accommodating, and she liked everything that was gluten-free, I think. I didn't hear any complaints from her on her gluten-free items.
I mean, she said some items were better than others, but some of our items were
better. That's going to happen, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you would not be disappointed. I think you would eat just fine on this cruise, Andy.
Good. Well, I just came back from a cruise myself on a different cruise line and happened to see a number of celebrity ships either out in on the open ocean or at the ports of call where we had in the stock. The one thing I'm kind of curious about is, what's the deal? I mean, celebrity's logo, it's a great big X. Is it a Target or what's the deal with that?
Yes.
So you sunk my cruise ship.
Did you shoot at it? I mean, if you shot at it, I guess it's Target.
Hey.
I actually looked this up because I was curious about it as well. And I'm probably going to maul the answer a little bit because it involves a Greek family name. But the line was originally owned by a Greek family. I believe Chandris is the way an American would say it. I have no idea how an actual Greek would say it. But the beginning of Chandris is spelled with a chi, the Greek symbol, which looks like an X. So they've just sort of kept that as a throwback. And it is kind of weird because there is no X in celebrity anywhere. So, yeah, it seems really random. But, yeah, it's just a little historical throwback for them.
Okay. I always wondered that.
Yeah.
Well, Andy was talking about how he just cruised on another cruise line. How does celebrity differ from other cruise lines? I know you said a few things earlier.
I think the key thing that stood out for me, and you know, we should say we were sailing this sort of in the dead of winter, so there were very few children on board. And I've sailed all the other major cruise lines, and for the most part, you get lots and lots of kids. There were children on board, you know, we did see them, but they were not prominent, nor did I feel like the ship really catered to children. I did not visit the kids club. I was actually traveling without children, so I reveled in this. But, but you know, a lot of the areas are definitely more geared toward adult, with more posh lounge chairs in general, and you know, extra cushioning on them. These lounging couches and papasans and this sort of, I guess, lounge furniture. And the activities were very much adult focused. Like I said, wine tastings and port talks. There weren't a whole lot of wild and crazy things. There probably was bingo. Was there bingo?
Because there was bingo.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
So I've done it before.
So I had not actually, you know, I didn't hear the call for bingo, which you usually do hear. So yeah, I think that's the key difference. I do think it was, in general, there was less planned activity, much more sort of enjoy yourself, lounge around kind of activity.
Amy, you said that you've, not on this cruise, but on previous cruises, you've taken your children with you. How are the children's activities? Did they enjoy them?
Loved it. They did, yes. And they were there when my kids were, before I even had my little ones. So, you know, they were there from ages 3 on up to probably 10, all girls, but every time. And one of my girls was really shy. They always made a friend. There were always other kids there whenever we went, and they loved the counselors. They got so attached to their counselors, and they could not wait to go every day to the kids' lounge, all 3 of them, even though they were all in different ones, too.
I mean, I think that's laudable for a cruise line that really doesn't bill itself as being used a lot by families and people traveling with young children, that they do make that effort to please even what is generally a smaller percentage of travelers.
The counselors were awesome. Nobody's asked, but can I just bring up, like, they have all their ships, how different they all are.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrity, gosh, I don't know. I feel like they've been around at least 20 years. Some of their ships have already been retired that I have sailed on. But you have their older ships that are a little bit smaller and don't have some of the things the newer ships do. So you're going to see, like, their newer ships have this lawn club and a grill upstairs in the lawn club. Real grass. It's real grass up there. I think there's what's that game where you hit the ball?
Croquet.
Yeah, there's croquet. There's croquet.
But their newer ships are more.
Their newer ships have a lot more of the, they feel newer. They're bigger and they're glitzier. But they're, I mean, I just feel, I loved them. I love their new ships. But I also love these older ships. And a lot of people don't like to sail the older ships. They're afraid they're going to be dirty or whatever. These older ships, to me, are so much more cozy. So I just don't think for me, and I'm a little biased because I love celebrity, I just don't think you can go wrong on a celebrity ship. They're all beautiful.
We had a wonderful time in the Martini Bar. It's an ice-covered bar, like real ice in the bar. And they do, you know, the bartenders can flip the bottles, and they're all cocktail, go all cocktail on you. It's very entertaining, and it was a great place to gather. People, they would involve the crowd, and the crowd would cheer for them when they flipped the bottle and would for them when they dropped it. And on top of that, the cocktails were really good. A great experience. And I really felt like the ship was really shone at night. That's where it really came alive.
Okay, so I have another question about celebrity, because I've never sailed them either. What are your favorite itineraries? What kind of sailings do they do?
Can I throw two out there that
pop
into my mind? So I feel like one of the unique ones they have that, well, of course, Royal Caribbean does it as well with their parent company. But Royal Caribbean and Celebrity both sail out of San Juan and do a Southern Caribbean 7-night. So instead of having to sail out of Fort Lauderdale or Miami and hit 2 or 3 Caribbean islands, you can sail out of San Juan and hit 1 a day with only 1 day at sea. So you're going to hit, you know, you could hit Barbados, St. Kitts, St. Martin, St. Thomas, St. Lucia, St. Martin. I don't remember all of them. But yeah, it kind of does a different itinerary every week. So that's one of them. And another one that I keep eyeing and I love, and I know a lot of ships do it, but I feel like Celebrity would do it really well with their newer ships that are over there, is Europe. You can do a 7 or a 10-night. There's the 7-1 that starts in Barcelona and goes to Barcelona, France, Italy, a few stops. Or if you want to do it a 10-night, it goes into Greece as well. And that just looks amazing to me.
I think for me, it would be appealing to be on a cruise ship that is more American if I was in Europe. Some friends that did it, and they did an Italian cruise ship, and they didn't like it. You know, like English wasn't the first language of the announcements, and things, little things like that really made a difference. And they regretted not going with a more American line.
Well, we've touched on the demographics, and it seems like a good time for me to ask this question. You know, I've done a few cruises and seen a wide variety of nationalities. Is it typically a North American audience or clientele on Celebrity cruises, or do they attract people from overseas as well?
I heard all sorts of languages.
I feel like there's a lot of North Americans, definitely, predominantly, probably. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, yes, I remember the last one that I was on, there was a man from Greece as we were sailing into St. Lucia, and he was talking with a very Greek accent, St. Lucia looked like Greece to him as we were sailing in with the mountains.
I was just curious, given, you know, that's a more mature clientele, typically. I wonder whether it did appeal to Europeans.
Absolutely.
As well.
I can't say this scientifically, but I think I heard more accents among the passengers on this ship than I've heard on any other. I mean, usually it is predominantly.
Wow.
Yeah, there's always some folks from elsewhere, but yeah, it was pretty impressive how diverse the languages were.
No, wait, Sandy, didn't your client that sailed on this say that she was sitting at a table with people who didn't speak English, or no?
You're right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Okay.
That was just a little.
What language were they speaking? I hasten to ask. Klingon?
Well, and, you know, to be fair, I mean, when I sailed on Royal Caribbean once and did the chef's table, we were seated at the very end of the table. We were a little late in booking. I need a better travel agent. We sort of decided the last minute to do the chef's table, and we ended up sitting beside a family of people who did not speak any English. So we literally were on our little island at the end of the table and couldn't really participate in the conversation because the people right next to us were speaking a language we didn't understand. They didn't try to engage us at all. And it doesn't only happen on Celebrity, for sure. So it can happen anywhere.
Have you tried any of the spa treatments? How is the spa?
I did the Persian Garden, which was very interesting. There's a couple of different shower treatments that were just sort of different jets coming from different places at different times, ran through this cycle. I don't know how else to describe it. And it's a co-ed area, so it's all, you know, bathing suits are required. And then there's a hot dry room and a hot steam room, so sort of the Turkish bath kind of idea, and then as Amy was talking about, the tiled lounges that are warmed from the underside. So yeah, just generally a relaxing, tranquil attitude. It seemed actually very European to me. I've been to spas all over the world. It's sort of a hobby. It definitely reminded me, you know, more of a spa that I was recently in Germany. Just a different feel, but we really enjoyed it. And then I didn't do anything else. They do have an acupuncturist, like we mentioned earlier, which is really interesting. I did not try that, but that is very unusual on a cruise ship.
Anyway. You have to have a very, like, calm sea day to do acupuncture.
rolling seas on a sea day.
Note to self. No acupuncture at sea.
It's like when they wouldn't do, like, we were on the Disney ship and they do a shave for the men, and we're like, oh, straight razor? No, not at all.
Well, and mind you, I mean, you can get a really nice shave on a cruise ship. I might not do it when the seas are tossing. Hopefully that doesn't happen to you too often.
Oh, you weren't wearing a red scarf when you came in here, sir.
I suddenly hear the theme music from Sweeney Todd.
Okay. Well, if nobody has anything more to say, that's our show for this week. On behalf of Sandy, Amy, Elizabeth, Andy, and myself, Robin, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.